Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, five Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911 unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4 black bag. GTA in progress 401 parking structure section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Row.
484 suspect is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Well, good evening, and welcome to another live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. I am your host, as always, back again for another show, Rick McCann. I am the founder, CEO of Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement association currently based in the big metro area, Atlanta, Georgia, USA. Welcome, everyone, tonight, all of the new listeners and those who are, well, our oldies but goodies that listen all the time, frequently. We're glad that you're here, and we also want to welcome those of you recently joining and becoming new members of the Private Officer Association. We're glad that you are with us in whatever country that you might be in. We're just glad to have all of you back with us live here on the air at Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Now, today, I understand that, this evening you've got another choice. You could be elsewhere. You don't have to be listening to me. I do have some competition tonight. Of course, being here that we're in the midst of midsummer at the end of July, you have, of course, the reruns that you could go and, veg out on the couch and watch. Most of you do have TiVo or DVR, and you probably have already seen the the original showing of your favorite shows. But just in case you are one of those who like reruns, well, I did look at the lineup on TV Guide tonight, and you certainly have a host of choices in the rerun section. Then, on the other hand, late this evening, I was told that there's also some other competition coming tonight on the TV. Your favorite, or maybe not so favorite, Obama drama show will be live on America's TV tonight. So he will be competing with me as well. And then, of course, your third choice for something to do tonight is to listen to the Private Officer Talk Radio. So if you are listening to us live and you want to avoid the Obama drama TV show. Now, of course, if I wasn't doing this radio program, I'd probably tune in to see what the heck he's got to say. Not that he says much at all, but but I probably would tune in just to see what's on his mind. This has been a pretty violent last 4 or 5 days here in the U.S. as well as around the world. Since Thursday, here in the U.S., 109 people, 109 people have been shot, 27 have been killed. And, of course, on Friday in Norway, 93 people were killed there in a very unusual outbreak of violence for that country. They're just not used to it. They don't see it very often. But here in the U.S., 109 people shot across the U.S. in bowling alleys, casinos, biker rallies. In fact, in the Kent, Washington, the Seattle, Washington metro area, 20 people alone there was shot in two unrelated incidents. 27 people killed. Unreal. A bowling alley, a skating rink, a casino, a biker rally, a day camp here in the U.S. At a skating rink, a birthday party with children and families, relatives gathering to celebrate a birthday. 5 people left dead, a number of others shot. If you're not a consumer of news, you should be. If you don't make it a daily habit to look at the headlines in your area, in your state, as well as across the nation, you should begin a ritual, a routine immediately, because if you are in the security, public safety, or law enforcement field, it is important to know the trends. It is important to know what is happening out there and to use that information to better prepare yourself, use it for training, use it as a heads up, especially when we're talking about trends and we're talking about different situations that you may come in contact with in your daily work. What if you had been the security officer at the bowling alley, at the casino, at, you know, any of these events? What if you had been at the skating rink? According to my information, during the shooting, there was a security officer on duty at the skating rink, and eventually, after 5 people were dead and others shot, he subdued the man. Some reports say that the security officer was actually an off-duty police officer. Others just call him a security guard. I don't know. We haven't confirmed it. But what? What if you had been the security officer? What if you had been unarmed? Would you have been prepared? Would you have known what to do? Or would you have ran and hide? Would you have torn out the door as quick as lightning? What if you had been armed? Would you know how to engage the shooter? Are you proficient enough to take him out in the midst of a crowd? This was an active shooter situation. So was the bowling alley shooting, the casino shooting, the biker rally shooting, the day camp shooting. These were all active shootings, all of them. What would you have done? Could you have handled it? Would you have frozen? Do you have the mindset to do battle? Do you have the training, the expertise, the experience, the background? How would you handle it? We're living in a day and age, we're living in a time when status quo for private security, public safety, special police just isn't good enough anymore. With more than 30,000 assaults on private security every year, with more than 9,000 serious injuries to private security every year, with more than 80 to 100 deaths of security officers every year. No. Status quo and what used to be just is not good enough anymore. As we have preached for the last 7 years since the existence, the beginning of Private Officer International, you as the private security officer, you as the person whose life is on the line, it's incumbent upon you. It's up to you to be trained, to be prepared, to be knowledgeable. It's up to you not to wait for that time and that day to come, because it's not a question anymore, is that day going to come, but rather, when? When? If you stay in security, public safety, or law enforcement long enough, you will face serious, violent situations. You will face armed confrontations, and you will probably face an active shooter scenario. So the question no longer is my training good enough, because it's not. The question is, how fast can I get more training? And if your employer does not do it, it is up to you to go out and do it, as we have been preaching since the beginning of the Private Officer International Association. No longer can we sit on our laurels. No longer can we sit on our fat butts. No longer can we look to our employer, who is not going to be there in the training, who's not going to be there when the you-know-what hits the fan. We have to look at us. We have to stop blaming everyone. We have to stop believing in fairy tales. We have to stop thinking that it's never going to happen, because it is. So what if you had been at the skating rink when bullets began to fly? What if you had been at the bowling alley, at the bikers rally? What if you had been there? What would you have done? How would you have handled it? It's something to seriously think about. Every day, we get a bunch of press releases, news alerts, news from the wire, and so forth in our office. And every day, we say the same thing over and over again. This is terrible. Another security officer is injured. This is horrific. Another security officer has been killed. This is terrible. But that doesn't change the facts. It doesn't make things any better. I think if you could see, if your client could see, if your boss, your company, your agency could see what is really happening in the private security industry, that things would change more rapidly and that they would be more concerned for protection of their personnel, for training of their personnel. You know, under the tort laws of the U.S., homeowners are liable for any injuries sustained on their property. If they were negligent, for instance, they had an icy sidewalk and they didn't de-ice it, didn't clean it, and the mailman walked up and fell, they would be responsible. If someone entered your home as a guest and tripped over a carpet because you did not tack it down properly, the homeowner would be responsible for those injuries. And I believe as I have made it known for a number of years, that business owners should also be responsible for violence that occurs on their property, especially when they are aware of the potential, especially when they've had previous incidents, especially when they cater to those who are prone to violence, like gangsters, bikers, druggies, people of that nature. Every school and every business, I believe, in this day and age, should have metal detectors at the doors and armed security. Whatever it takes to protect the innocent, I believe that the business owner should be legally mandated to do it, whatever that might be. And I'm not talking necessarily about a small office. I'm not talking about a small store. But if you are running a bowling alley, a bar, a club, you're running a large entertainment facility, then yes, by all means, you should take every measure, every precaution to ensure the safety of those that you are inviting in, your patrons, as well as your employees. And I think that should be a national law as well. All right, so much for my preaching tonight. We have a great show. We will be talking about self-rescue. Self-rescue. It's time that we really get down to the basics. It's time that we begin to talk about what's really happening in the field. We need to practice frequently. We really do. We need to train. We need to hold drills. But tonight we're going to be talking about self-rescue, life-saving skills, officer safety drills to save your life. You may call for backup, for help. It may be minutes or miles apart. So tonight we're going to be talking about a couple of things that you can do to help rescue yourself in a terrible situation. Then we've got some other great shows coming up, lined up. We have Armed Confrontations, Armed and Dangerous. We've just rounded up a few more folks who will be on that show next week, Monday, August the 1st, 7:30 p.m. Don't miss it. The following week, we've got a very exciting show. We will be talking about self-contained HOA properties. We will be talking about self-contained homeowners association properties. We have a police department. A police department in Virginia that will be on with us. It is a self-contained property of 10,000 residents in one HOA, one homeowners association property, that actually has a true police department as any town or city would have. We will also have a guest from another HOA in Florida, which has thousands and thousands of residents, but their in-house self-contained security staff are volunteers. It's a very unique setup. We'll be talking about them as well. And we will be talking to another HOA property that also has a self-contained, fully authorized, true police department. We're not talking about security police. We're not talking about special police, as in some states. We're talking about a true police department. They also have a rescue squad and a volunteer fire department, all self-contained within their property, and we will be talking with them. That's coming up in 2 weeks. The following week after that, we will be talking about special police with guests from Virginia, Maryland, D.C., and Missouri, all of which are private security who have special police commissions within their jurisdiction, and we'll be talking about how different they are, because some will allow you arrest authority only on the property that you're on, while others will allow you arrest authority and all law enforcement authority within the county of your commission. So that's going to be a pretty unique and exciting show as well. And then 4 weeks from today, a month from today, we will be talking to a sex crimes officer, and we will be talking about responding to sex crimes on your property. And as private security and public safety and law enforcement, you will and you do respond to assaults, sexual assaults, rapes, and things of that nature. And you need to know, until the law enforcement officers get on scene, how to contain it, how to respond to it, what to be looking for, what to touch, what not to touch. And we'll be talking about responding to sex crimes coming up in 1 month from today. And then after that, yeah, we've got a lot of great radio shows lined up for you. After that, 5 weeks from today, we will be talking about tenant violations. Tenant violations. There are many lease violations and many property violations that are civil and not criminal. And we will be talking about how to address them, what to do, how to handle various situations coming up in 5 weeks from today. So, armed confrontations, armed and dangerous, self-contained HOA security police departments, special police authority, responding to sex crimes and tenant violations. You won't want to miss this because I'm telling you, these are going to be just packed full of great stuff and stuff that you're going to use every day in your job. So great shows coming up, and we hope that you will be listening. Yeah, okay. We've got a great show for you tonight. Like I said, we will be talking about self-rescue coming up in a few minutes. Lots of stuff going on that we need to address real quick. We have started a couple of months ago the Vest for Life program. It is a program for Private Officer International members. If you'd like more information, go to our web at www.privateofficer.com or send an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. And basically, the way this is going to work is that we will either donate a vest for you to use while you are on a specific assignment, or we will help you purchase your own vest, which will be your own personal property. And again, the different criteria is basically depending on your assignment, depending on, you know, your need, depending on if you're a POI member in good standing, a little bit of, you know, criteria that you will have to meet. But again, you can either check out more information on our forums at privateofficer.com, or you can send an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com today. We also have a lot going on in the training area. We have a lot of folks going through the Certified Asset Protection Professional courses right now. We had the largest class graduate about a week and a half ago. I believe it was 41 or 42 members of the class. Wow, it was, wow, what a great class that was. We have another great class going on right now. It is a fantastic, heavily laden training course with material that you can't get elsewhere. It is an interactive course, CAPP 1 or 2, or the new certified trainer and instructor certification. If you want more information, just go to our website at privateofficer.com and click on the Academy. And right now we are offering scholarships for Private Officer International members as well as payment plans for anybody. So just go to our website, click on the Academy for more information. We also have a fantastic bargain right now. You can become a lifetime member of Private Officer International for $169 and get either a free members LAPD style two-tone badge. It's a beautiful badge with your name and members number on it. Or you can get the CAPP 1 course free of charge right now. For more information or to enroll, go to our website at privateofficer.com. And right there on the homepage, click on the July specials, and it will take you to that link. Don't miss it, because right now it's a fantastic bargain, and you really, really are going to get more than your money's worth either way. Also want to remind you, don't forget about the Midwest Security Police Conference and Expo coming up the 22nd and 3rd of August in Peoria, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. I'll be there speaking in the seminar, and we'll also have a booth set up right there. So if you're in the Midwest, and heck, even if you're, you know, in California someplace, Texas, Jersey, wherever, be sure to join us in Peoria, Illinois, for the upcoming Midwest Security Police Conference. I'll also be, as well as a couple of members of my team, at the AFIS convention that's coming up in Orlando, September, I believe it is. We will be there as well, and we hope to see you there. I want to remind you that we're also taking a limited number of advertising, banners, or block text ads for our website, more than 200,000 monthly hits. You'll also get a free radio spot. For more information, contact Brian Hill at privateofficer.com. Brian Hill at privateofficer.com. We'll be right back. Talk Radio Network. We're in our home studio tonight. We've had a pretty busy schedule over the last couple of weeks. We've had a lot of heavy road travel. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm not much into the airplane flights. It's not that I hate them. It's just I'd rather drive. So even if I'm going to Texas, Oklahoma, or New England, from my home office in the Atlanta Metro, I am driving. I will be hitting the road. And oftentimes, I do so at very odd hours. I may leave at 2 in the morning. I may leave at 5 in the morning. Or I may leave, you know, at midnight. But very frequently at those hours, while others are asleep, I am trying to avoid the deer, not only in the headlights, but the deer against my windshield on the interstates. Lots of deers this time of year for some reason. I guess it's the dry weather. But so anyways, we do have a pretty heavy schedule coming up in the next few weeks, actually the next few months. But we are doing some free seminars. If your company is interested in sponsoring a free seminar, we are offering use of force, continuum, workplace violence, and assessment of threat seminars free of charge, just send an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. Well, it is apparent to me, since we can monitor our listenership live, that a number of you are watching, I guess, reruns, or maybe you're sitting at the edge of your seat waiting for the new Obama drama show to come on. I believe that's 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight, but could be 8 p.m. But anyways, we're going to go on without you, and I guess you can listen to us later on in the on-demand section right here. We're still going hot and heavy with the 2011 training initiative. Our goal to train 1,000 private security officers across the country and around the world. We are trying to train 1,000 security officers in two modules that's not required by their state. So go to our website at privateofficer.com. At the top of the main page, there's a blue banner. Click on it and join today. You can enroll in two free courses. There's over a dozen colleges and U.S. Department of Homeland Security and others offering free training right there. Help us to reach our goal. If you haven't heard, we have partnered with a group to offer franchises for private security companies. It's called Private Officer Security Corporation, and we are offering three free franchises. We have given away one, so we're actually offering two more at this point. If you are interested in starting your own business, being in business for yourself but not by yourself, as we say all the time, please send an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. All right, we do want to send out some warm birthday wishes tonight. Want to say happy birthday to, believe it or not, I'm not making this up, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, happy birthday, Bill. Yeah, Bill Clinton, yeah. Oh, no. Not President Bill Clinton. No, this guy's name's just William Clinton. He's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, 45 years old. Happy birthday to you, Bill, anyways. David Reinhardt in Newington, Connecticut, happy birthday to you. Chaz, no other name, just Chaz, 30. Kurt Davis in San Diego, 31 years of age. Stephen Monahan in New York City, 44. Martin Dew, 55. Christopher Rogers in the Philippines, happy birthday to you. Jeffrey Hammer in Virginia, no age for you. And Eric Davis, he is in Huntsville, Alabama. Alabama with a banjo on my knee. Happy birthday to all of you tonight. We hope that you are having a great birthday and enjoying it as much as you can. I did forget a couple of things at the initial start of the program. You can send us an email anytime we're on the radio at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. You can submit news, training items. You can also submit birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you like, you can send it to us at radio@privateofficer.com. You can also follow us. Yeah. Most people don't like you, you know, when you follow them. But, you know, we're different. We carry big guns. You can follow us on the web 24/7, 365. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter. You can be part of our own forums. You can follow our news blog, and you can join us anytime, day or night, on the radio simply by going to www.privateofficer.com and all of the links. Yeah, all of them. all the links are right there on the homepage, and it's amazing what you can find out. Now, there is a lot of stuff happening here at Private Officer International, so we use our news alerts, our emails, our news blog, and our forums to get that information out to you in a timely manner. So go to our website at privateofficer.com, join our forums, follow our news, link up with us at Facebook or Twitter. Most of everything that we do, you're going to be, you know, the first to know if you join us there on our website or on Twitter or Facebook. So be there or be square. had to say it. But really, we do have a very large and growing internet footprint, and we'd love for you to be part of that. Definitely have a lot of exciting things happening on our forums. You don't have to be a POI member to join that. We have members there from around the world and across the USA. Just go to our website at privateofficer.com, click on the link for the forums, which is on the right side of the page, and join us there today. All right, some other business that we need to take care of, but first, I want to go over and check out what's happening in the news. There's a lot of stuff happening in the news, and, Greenville, Tennessee, Ralph Raymond Phillips, 43, was arrested for theft over $10,000. He hired people to shoplift makeup, tools, medications, and other items from Walmart, Lowe's, Family Dollar, Dollar General, Walgreens, and others. And then he sold them on the internet, of course. That was his way of making income. That was his business. Santa Monica police there arrested a homeless person for assaulting a security officer after the security officer advised the man to leave private property. Santa Cruz, California, a man and woman was arrested for assault and shoplifting from the Safeway. Police say that Ashanti Kraft and Sandra Wojcik were both arrested for taking merchandise and then assaulting security. They've been charged with robbery and conspiracy as well as violation of probation. Fine, outstanding folks they are. A school security officer in Pittsburgh has sued Shirley Provano, 55, alleges that she was the victim of sexual discrimination and other discrimination while she was at school, and she has sued. A security officer in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, was struck by a vehicle at the Mannheim Auto Auction. Randy Weiss was arrested after he struck the security officer while trying to elude security and to flee the property. Police are holding him in custody currently with no bond. Also in the news this week, we have a story out of Federal Way. Police there killed an armed shoplifter. Police were called by Law Prevention Friday to the Kent, Washington Walmart. They say that as they were chasing the shoplifter, he reached down to his ankle, and police were able to see a gun, and they fired upon him, killing him there in the parking lot. In Hilo, Hawaii, a district judge there has sentenced a University of Hawaii softball player to getting her bachelor's degree or facing jail time for a shoplifting incident at Walmart. Police say that the student shoplifted a number of items, and the judge has said either you finish your schooling or we send you to jail. Yeah, I guess you'll be getting a degree soon. Authorities in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, say that they've arrested a woman, an owner of Mr. Flapp's pawn shop in Goose Creek. They say that she and several others were involved in a scheme, again, to shoplift other merchandise from a number of stores, and then she sold it in the pawn shop as well as online. Felicia Sanders Smith, 44, has been charged with receiving and possession of stolen property. That's really becoming a very, very big business, a lot of organized crime, retail crime, and it's growing all the time. Charlotte, North Carolina police have decided to pull their tasers off the streets. They've disarmed all of their police officers after a second person was killed after being tasered. Police say that William Lareko Williams, 21, evidently was assaulting a woman on the light rail. When police arrived, they used a taser on him, and he died. Just recently, within the last week, Taser lost a multi-million-dollar lawsuit in Charlotte after the parents of a young man who died during a confrontation with police sued. And so anyways, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg police have decided to pull all tasers right now until they can look into it a little bit further. In Jeffersontown, Kentucky, which is part of Louisville, Kentucky, police there say that Randall Lacefield was indicted for plotting to kill some cops. They say that he had discussed killing several police officers, and he currently is incarcerated pending his court date. Not too bright, is it, when you plan to kill a police officer? In Georgia, did you hear about this? In Georgia, police have arrested a McDonald's manager. Police say that the manager punched a patron after she brought her autistic son and their service dog into the restaurant. Tiffany Denise Allen has been charged with assault and disorderly conduct. She got angry because the dog was in the restaurant, but it was a service dog, which is, you know, protected under the ADA, the American Disability Act. She got upset, and she began slugging it out with the patron. In Monix Corner, South Carolina, which is, I believe it's down there, Hilton Head, or Myrtle Beach, one of the two, a recently retired South Carolina law enforcement agent shot and killed a woman, 42 years old, and then killed himself. Charles Boyette, 61, evidently was in some kind of relationship with Marianne Cox, 44, and decided Friday afternoon to end it with bloodshed, and he killed the woman and then shot and killed himself. Also in the news, Auburn, Washington, police there say that chaos erupted into a crowded tribal casino after a 42-year-old man walked into the dance floor area, opened fire with a handgun, actually, and shot his estranged wife, her male dance partner, and her sister. At least four other people suffered serious injuries. Police are stunned. You may have read about this. Indiana police say the Indiana Police Reserve officer was arrested for having sex in a public pool while children watched. Myron Helms has been arrested, as also his girlfriend was arrested after they had a naked swim and sex fest at the Roberts Park Family Pool in Connersville, Indiana. They say that the two continued on for more than a half hour while adults and children swam in the public pool. Unbelievable. Las Vegas, Nevada police say that they have discovered that a man who was thought to be dead for more than 32 years, well, he was alive. Seems that Arthur Gerald Jones, a Chicago commodities trader, was living in Las Vegas as a bookie. He's been arrested for identity theft and a number of other charges. Can you imagine that? You think your relative is deceased? My uncle, my grandfather, my dad, you know, deceased. We buried them year after year after year. Don't hear from him. You just believe he is deceased. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he shows up. Unbelievable. All right, we are hiring. I think we mentioned this a few times in the last few weeks, but if you are in the Richmond, Virginia area, we are hiring one more police officer for our new college, university, coming up in the next few months. We prefer somebody who is a post-certified officer. That's a police officer, state training standards officer, or SCOP certification. Send an email with your resume to adminassist@privateofficer.com. We are also hiring a franchise business development manager. If you have experience in marketing, franchises, or the like, send us your resume with an email of interest to adminassist@privateofficer.com. We are also looking for a full-time membership recruiter. You can work from home, and you will assist with recruiting, obviously, new members to the association. And last but not least, we're also looking for an advertising sales manager. Again, you can work from home. Flexible hours, salary plus commission. Send your resume with an email of interest to adminassist@privateofficer.com. It's a great opportunity. As Private Officer continues to grow, you know, we have all sorts of positions that we will be hiring for. So it's something for you to consider. Maybe you had not thought about it in this way before, but we are an excellent opportunity for those who may be looking to advance your career. So if you're interested, just send us an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. I don't believe that there's anybody out there tonight. I think everyone's probably watching Obama drama. So we're going to check it out. If you'd like to call in and talk about anything, you can do it right now at area code 347-426-3807. If you can pull yourself away long enough from Obama drama TV tonight, and call us. The area code, once again, is 347-426-3807. We'll be happy to discuss the news, chapters, the association, or just about anything else. Keep it clean. This is a family-oriented radio show. We'll be glad to talk with you tonight. Just call us at area code 347-426-3807. But I think, you know, probably everybody's sitting glued to their TV watching the Obama drama. All right. See, I told you. Everybody's glued to their TV. I don't know. I think I'd rather watch old reruns, even if I'd seen it half a dozen times, rather than watching the Obama drama. Whew, I could do without that. All right, tonight, very quickly, we're going to discuss self-rescue. Self-rescue. As we talked about, there are thousands, literally thousands, of security officers injured in the line of duty every year across the U.S., and even more than that, around the world. Some are very simple injuries, scrapes and scratches and bruises. Others, not so simple, many stabbings, cuttings, shootings, and the like. Last year, more than 9,000 serious injuries to private security, with more than 1,000 assaults against security officers and almost 100 security officers killed. So tonight we're going to talk about the commonplace, you know, reality that security and law enforcement officers can and do get injured on the job. And sometimes help is not exactly around the corner. And in fact, sometimes, especially in the private security industry, it may not be coming at all unless you make the call. So we want to talk for a few moments about self-rescue. And although we could be talking about officer safety, we could be talking about how to assess the threat, we could be talking about, more the officer defense. But instead, we're going to be talking a little bit about the first aid part of rescuing yourself. Who carries a pocket-sized first aid kit around with them? No one. No one. So if you are injured in the field, if you do get hurt, you do get stabbed, you do get shot, you do fall down a flight of stairs, you need to self-rescue. You need to know how to save yourself from bleeding to death, from going into shock, from more serious injury. And so for a few moments, we're going to be talking about self-rescue. Of course, it's very important to have good situational awareness, to know your surroundings, to be aware of the threat, to be aware of your environment. It's important. That's all part of officer safety, basic officer safety, situational awareness. Going into a situation, whenever you're on an assignment, you should know the environment that you're in. But you should also know the grounds, the buildings. You should know where your cover is. You should know where your escape is. And you should also know where you can go to either get assistance or to stay away from. Let's face it, when an officer is injured, especially in hostile environments, on properties that, you know, may have many residents who don't like the police, don't like security, you're probably going to be on your own, even when there are people around. So it's important from the first aid aspect of it to know what to do. The first thing we want to talk about is to practice controlling the bleeding. Many injuries sustained in the field have something to do with bleeding, whether you fall and, you know, scrape your arm, cut your leg, your knee, or whatever. So you need to practice good bandaging skills. You need to practice how to control the bleeding, especially from puncture wounds, stab wounds, bullet wounds, because these are real potential that these will occur while you're on duty. You may or may not have first aid experience. You may or may not be first aid certified, but even if you're not, and I strongly recommend that every security officer, public safety officer, or law enforcement officer get at least minimal first aid certification. Go to the American Red Cross and be certified in first aid and CPR. Go to CERT, the Civilian Emergency Response Team in your area. Look it up on the web, CERT. They'll train you for free. Every security officer needs to have basic first aid skills, not only so that you can provide that assistance to others on your property, but so that you can save you. Number one, control the bleeding. You have to control the bleeding, especially in a puncture wound, a stab wound, or when you've been shot. Many people bleed out. It's that simple. You have to control the bleeding. So practice bandaging yourself. Practice using controlled bleeding methods, pressure points. Practice how to stop the flow. Holding your hand against the wound. Remember, it's your life that you're going to be saving. It's your life that will depend on whether or not you are proficient in this task or not. So you need to practice, even if you are certified in first aid. If you don't use your skills, you forget them. It's true as an EMT or a paramedic. If we're not out in the rig, if we're not out in the ambulance frequently using the various skills and training, it's easy to forget protocols, easy to forget the basics, the ABCs of administer first aid. So control, practice bandaging, control bleeding. It's important. Number two, you have to know when and how to use tourniquets. Now, not everyone is familiar with the use of them. Not everyone even knows when to use them. But it's important to understand when you're in the field, when you have profuse bleeding in a limb, such as a leg or an arm, you may have to use a tourniquet. You may not have a tourniquet. Obviously, if you don't have your first aid kit with you, and even if you have a first aid kit from your facility, most of the time it's going to be pretty basic, band-aids, gauze, tape. So you'll need to use belts, shoelaces, a piece of clothing torn up, or other items, a rope. If you have a piece of rope close by, other things that can be used as a tourniquet. Now, I don't want you to practice tying a tourniquet on your leg and squeezing, but you should be familiar that you put it above where the bleed is. Be familiar with getting it tight enough to cut off the flow of blood. Do some research. Go to some of the first aid online websites that offer free training. Learn how to use a tourniquet, when to use a tourniquet, and where to place it. It's very, very, very important. Remember, if you are alone in an apartment complex parking lot, if you are alone out in the parking lot of a mall, if you are alone doing patrol at an office complex or a manufacturer or any facility, if you are injured, whether by a perpetrator or accidentally, you may be there by yourself. So you will be the only person who will determine whether or not you get rescued. So you need to know the basics of saving yourself. If you can't save yourself, you cannot save others. So do some online research. Learn how to control bleeding. Learn how to use tourniquets. Very, very important. Number three, you need to practice dragging yourself and others around corners, behind cars and buildings, inside a doorway. And when I say practice dragging, that's what I mean. I mean, get on the ground. I mean, prone out. Lay down. Pretend like you've been shot. And you need to get out of the crosshairs of the suspect. You need to get out of the danger zone. You need to get into a safe area. You've been shot, stabbed, you're injured. You need to practice crawling to a safe zone. Focus on cover. Around the corner, behind a car, inside a doorway, inside a building. It's important that you practice now for the real event. As I said moments ago, no longer is it if, but when. No longer is it, probably not going to happen here. No, it probably will happen here. The question is when, and are you prepared? You should also train to drag another person and learn how to drag that person. If you don't have another person to practice with, you can use dummies, sandbags, something that weighs 120, 50 pounds, and practice dragging them a good ways to cover behind a building, through a doorway, around a car. And while you're doing this, you should also focus not only on where it is you're going as you drag yourself and others, but firing at the suspect at the same time. It's okay to use your weapon to dry fire. It's okay to simulate a weapon, but you need practice. You need to train. It's important. It's important. Number four, at the very minimum, you need to know how to prevent shock. There are a number of different types of shock, and all of them, hear me when I say this, all of them can kill you. All of them. If your body goes into severe shock, it can kill you. It is a life threatening emergency. You may have hypovolemic shock, which is from blood loss. You may have TBI, traumatic brain injury, severe head trauma. You may have septic shock, which is from severe infections. Cardiogenic shock, which is heart failure. You can have shock from severe trauma, severe burns, even dehydration. That's why we always say, especially with these triple-digit numbers in the last few weeks, with the heat temperatures and the heat index rising as it has been, we always say, hydrate yourself, because you can go into shock, life-threatening shock. It is important to know how to prevent and treat shock. There's also something called anaphylactic shock, which is from severe allergic reactions. Could be from drugs, foods, insect bites, or snake bites. And you have to know how to treat it. You have to know the symptoms. The symptoms are pale, cold, clammy skin, rapid pulse, sweating, nervousness, agitation, disorientation, confusion, thirst, bleeding, rapid breathing, gasping for air, nauseous, vomiting, dizziness, unconsciousness, a whole slew of things to be looking for to see if a person is suffering from shock. Okay, how do you treat someone? Do you know how to take care of a person who is in shock? For the most part, you need to lay them on their back and elevate their legs above a foot high. Make sure that their legs are higher than their heart. Do not give them something to drink, even though they probably will be thirsty. It could cause them to vomit or be further ill. Make sure that they don't have any blockage blocking their airway. Make sure that they're comfortable temperature-wise, not too hot, not too cold. If it's very hot, move them to a shaded area. If it's very cold, cover them with something. But preventing further shock or treating shock will save the person. Stay calm. Maintain your body temperature. Remember, not too cold, not too hot. Do not drink fluids. Elevate your legs. Treat the underlying injury. So if, for instance, you have a stab wound, treat the bleeding. Put pressure on that bleeding area. If you treat the underlying area, it will help to prevent the body from going into further shock. It's important that you have some minimal first aid training. And not only that, but that you practice, train, and drill just like you would with anything else. Help may be moments or miles away. When no one else is coming, you need to know how to save yourself. Those simple things that we've gone over tonight in self-rescue will make the difference. Practice bandaging and control bleed. Practice those things. Practice the use of tourniquets and how to use them and what materials you can use in lieu of a true tourniquet. Practice dragging yourself and others to safety while you're injured. Practice treating for shock and preventing shock. These things will make a huge, huge difference in the long run. You know, the problem that I have found in my 37 years in the private security industry is that people, they think that this is for someone else. They think that private security, regardless of what your assignment is, regardless of what type of security that you do, they don't need all of this advanced training, skills, and expertise. They just don't see the whole picture. But it's high time that you understand, that you realize that you do need the training. You do need the advanced skills. You do need to know more than ever before. Minimal training as required by your state is not good enough anymore. Remember situational training, situational awareness. Remember your environment, and remember these tips for self-rescue. It's important when you're out in the field. Something that was brought up to me earlier today, I want to pass along to you. I know that everyone has a cell phone these days. I know that, you know, we just can't live without cell phones. But believe it or not, there are a few folks who don't have a cell phone. If you are a private security officer and you have no other direct communication means, and you don't have a cell phone because you can't afford one, to be honest with you, there are ways for you to obtain a free cell phone. If you would like more information, send us an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Also, if you've ever had a cell phone and it was cut off for non-payment or you couldn't meet your bills or whatever, a federal law that was passed a couple of years ago makes it illegal for the phone company not to allow 911 calls. So every cell phone provider must allow 911 calls from cell phones that have been turned off. So even if yours is disconnected, the 911 can still be made. So that's still a good source of communication for you for emergency. So if you are one of those folks, then there's nothing to be embarrassed about. This is tight and hard times these days. But if you are one of those folks where your cell phone has been temporarily disconnected or permanently disconnected, your 911 access is still available, and you should carry your phone charged for those emergency situations that do come up. That will conclude our program for tonight. Remember, we've got some really great shows coming up in the next 5 weeks, and we really would love to have you as a co-host. If you would like to be a co-host on our show, either the LP Zone or our weekly show here on Monday evenings, send an email to us at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. We'd love to have you. Just send us an outline of what it is that you want to talk about. Include your resume and a little outline of your expertise in that field. We would love to have you on as a co-host of either the LP Zone or the Private Officer Talk Radio Network right here with us Monday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Well, that's all for this week. We're glad that you've been with us. We're glad that you weren't watching Obama drama. And we'll see you here Wednesday for the LP Zone at 3 p.m. Eastern. And again, next Monday night for our regular broadcast, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, be safe, God bless, and we'll see you right back here on the radio.